You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Pestilence. What will we do? Jesus told us, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Pestilence is something that we should know to expect in this time of the Antichrist war on the saints, also known as the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. Probably everyone has had a cold. Sometimes you know you got it from someone, and sometimes you passed it to someone else in the family, perhaps. Sometimes no one else got your cold. That experience should give you some understanding regarding pandemics or pestilence, like bird flu or swine flu. Pestilence is to be expected in this time. The word of the Lord, in fact, the command of the Lord, 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, is fear not. Let me say that again. The command of the Lord, 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, is fear not. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence which walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The answer for me and my house is faith, not fear. We cannot afford to go to doctors. We have no health insurance. We have no way that we could possibly go to receive any kind of health care. It's just not an option for us. And we choose to go to Dr. Jesus, even if we could afford to go. But the reality is, we simply cannot go because there is no kind of coverage for us, and we cannot afford any kind of health care. So it really is quite simple for us. For us, it's not an option. It's not an option for us to even consider vaccines, doctors, hospitals, and clinics where the Lord has sent us to try to get the gospel to as many Muslims as we can here in the Middle East. The Lord has given us, and He gives you as well, Psalm 46 and Psalm 91. In no way will we take flu shots. If you studied the subject, you probably would not either. The Lord has shown us two very inexpensive and very practical things which we can and which we will do. Two very simple things. Vitamin C and colloidal silver. I'm going to talk just a little bit about the reality of what is going on with this so-called pandemic and pestilence of the swine flu. And then I'm going to share a portion of an award-winning film by the title Beyond Treason. And then I'm going to share with you an old 60 Minutes program from back in 1976. That's 23 years old. Television has changed in the last 23 years. And it's going to be an old TV show from over 20 years ago, when many took flying swine flu shots and there were a lot of people that regretted it. But there are two very inexpensive and very practical things that you can do, which we will do, and that is vitamin C and colloidal silver. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we will stand by faith upon His word, though 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. God said so. The following is a brief summary of why we take and plan to continue with vitamin C and colloidal silver. When anyone tries to force you to take a vaccine that you do not want, if you do not want to take a vaccine and somebody is trying to force you, saying it's even a law that you must take it, if anyone tries to force you to take a vaccine, remember to say Nuremberg Code. Nuremberg Code. Here's why you must know this now. It looks like the governments around the world will either force these vaccinations on the public or launch a massive propaganda campaign to trick you into submitting to the vaccination. And if they attempt to force these untested, and this is what you need to know, these things are not tested. These are essentially experimental vaccinations on you. And if anyone tries to attempt to force these untested and essentially experimental vaccinations on you, you should cite the Nuremberg Code, which states the voluntary consent of the human subject is essential. They can be tried as a war criminal. The individual trying to give you the vaccination can ultimately be tried as a war criminal and held personally responsible for forcing you to take that, no matter what orders they may be obeying and no matter what other laws may be on the books. They stand the potential of being a war criminal and being sued for everything they've got if they try to force you to take a vaccination. You should remember to say Nuremberg Code. Now, there's an important website location that you need to look at. It's www.moresureword.com/pestilence.htm. That's www.moresureword, that's all one word, moresureword.com/pestilence. Now that's with a capital P, pestilence, capital pestilence.htm. You need to look at that little article about pestilence. There you will find the complete Nuremberg Code. The World Health Organization has declared swine flu, N1H1, the highest level 6 pandemic. And this will probably imply governmental demands for universal mass vaccinations under penalty for not complying. Flu vaccine contains squalene oil. I want you to hear this. Squalene oil as an adjuvant. Squalene oil is in all of these flu shots for swine flu. Squalene oil. And this has been traced as one of the primary common denominators of Gulf War syndrome. Micropaleontologist Dr. Vera Schnebner conducted research into the adverse effects of adjuvants in vaccines and wrote squalene contributed to the cascade of reactions called Gulf War syndrome. GIs developed arthritis, fibromyalgia, rashes, photosensitive rashes, myelar rashes, chronic fatigue, chronic headaches, abnormal body hair loss, non-healing skin lesions, ulcers, dizziness, weakness, memory loss, seizures, mood changes, neuropsychiatric problems, antithyroid effects, anemia, elevated ESR, systemic lupus, multiple sclerosis, and deadly Raynaud's phenomenon, which is always fatal, Sjögren's syndrome with blurred vision, chronic diarrhea, night sweats, and low-grade fever. A study linking squalene as experimental vaccine adjuvant to individuals with the clinical signs of Gulf War syndrome was published in 2002. A U.S. federal judge ruled that there was good cause to believe squalene to be harmful and ordered the Pentagon to stop administering it in October of 2004. Something peculiar is going on. The Bilderberg meeting wanted to appoint the World Health Organization as the health ministry of the UN world government. Now, all of a sudden, an unprecedented hype is taking place. A non-existing risk of pandemic flu is being blown up out of all proportions by the World Health Organization and without any measures being taken. The World Health Organization declared the first flu pandemic of the 21st century on June 2009, urging countries to shore up defenses against the virus, which is, as they say, not stoppable but has proved mainly mild so far. However, the World Health Organization imposed no restrictions on travels or contacts between people. The World Health Organization says that moving to pandemic phase 6 level does not imply we will see an increase in the number of deaths or very severe cases. The World Health Organization recommended drug makers stay on track to complete production of seasonal influenza vaccine for the Northern Hemisphere's next winter in the next 2 weeks. Each year, normal flu kills about 500,000 people and infects millions. So far, this phase class 6, highest pandemic rated flu there is, so far it has caused relatively mild cold-like symptoms with headaches and vomiting. There have only been 141 deaths among the almost 28,000 cases that have been found in 74 countries worldwide since March. Another way to say that is that if you have a normally God-given normally functioning immune system, it is not a serious threat to you. You may get a cold and be down for a couple of days, but if your immune system is generally in a normal functional condition, this pandemic flu threat is no real threat to you. But the vaccine is a very real threat to you. The pandemic is not a threat, but the vaccine is positively a threat. If your immune system is compromised, that might be something else. The media hype is not in any proportion to the real threat, which is minimal. The industry-run U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, notoriously rushes inadequately tested drugs to market, putting their efficacy and safety into question, and turning those who use them essentially into lab rats. And it includes everyone if a mass vaccination is ordered on the mere claim of a public emergency. No proof required. If mass vaccinations are ordered, millions of Americans may ask, why? Why have you willfully and maliciously ruined my health? Dangerous side effects of flu vaccinations occur due to vaccine adjuvant squalene, according to immunologist Dr. Pamela Asa. And Dr. Asa first recognized autoimmune disease showing up in GIs that mirrored those in lab animals injected with oil-formulated squalene adjuvants. Squalene adjuvants are a key ingredient in a whole new generation of vaccines intended for mass immunization around the globe. Squalene is in all of these things, and squalene is not just a molecule found in the knee or elbow. This squalene molecule is found throughout the nervous system and the brain, and therein lies the problem. When this squalene component in all these vaccines is injected in the body, then the body's immune system attacks it as an enemy to be eliminated. Eating and digesting squalene isn't a problem, but injecting it galvanizes the immune system into attacking it, which can produce self-destructive cross-reactions against the same molecule in places where it occurs naturally in the body, where it is critical to the health of the nervous system. Once self-destruction begins, it doesn't stop, as the body keeps making the molecule that the immune system is trained to attack and destroy. Squalene is a kind of a trigger for a real biological weapon. It is what the Soviet researchers called a biological time bomb. Dr. Pam Asa said that oil adjuvants are the most insidious chemical weapon ever devised, including ones with squalene. So what American scientists conceived as a vaccine booster, or what's now being developed in labs, was another nanobomb instigating chronic, unpredictable, and debilitating disease. There are now data in more than 24 peer reviews, scientific papers from 10 different laboratories in the United States, Europe, Asia, and Australia, documenting that squalene-based adjuvants can induce autoimmune diseases in animals. The induced autoimmune disease has been observed in mice and rats and guinea pigs and rabbits. Many of the cutting-edge vaccines currently in development contain squalene in one formulation or another. There is squalene in the prototype recombinant vaccines for HIV and malaria and herpes influenza, including the swine strain. Some of these are intended for mass immunizations around the globe, and that possibility should terrify everyone enough to refuse any mandate or doctor's prescription to take them. Now, the World Health Organization hype is aimed at provoking mass hysteria over a non-existing threat to humanity. Swine flu is a much milder A flu than seasonal flu. Such politically created hoax will probably be associated with mandatory mass vaccinations for no medical reason. There is a very serious problem with the adjuvant of the vaccine, the oil squalene, which is said to have caused the Gulf War syndrome. Yes, the squalene adjuvant, which is in all of these swine flu vaccines, is what all of the main researchers have concluded the primary cause of what came to be known as Gulf War syndrome, which killed over 10,000 people, has 250,000, a 250,000 on disability, and another 250,000, that's a whole 500,000 people disabled because of that squalene adjuvant, which the researchers have concluded was the primary cause. So now let me let you listen to a segment of that Beyond Treason award-winning film, and any parent who has children considering going into the military needs to watch that video. It's an award-winning video, Beyond Treason it's called. And then after that there will be this old, over 20-year-old 60-minute program to explain what we're talking about. And that was the way news and TV used to be over 20 years ago. But now it's 100% Antichrist propaganda of the prince of the power of the air.
The threat of biological warfare is nothing new to the military, but the Persian Gulf War placed a special emphasis on it. This renewed emphasis caused the Defense Department to look at how it was protecting men and women in uniform from this battlefield threat, this unseen enemy. Staff Sergeant Noah Berg looks at one of those enemies and what is being done to fight it.
The Defense Department says it can be a big threat on the modern battlefield. Anthrax, most commonly associated with livestock. And the type that worries those military leaders most is the type that is inhaled.
Sometimes people refer to as very early stages as something like a common cold. But then the person goes downhill very quickly.
Because of the potential anthrax threat, last year the Defense Department ordered vaccinations, and one of the first in line was Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Eric Behnken. Despite isolated protests, the vast majority of medical experts endorsed the vaccine's use. And despite charges that the so-called Gulf War syndrome and anthrax are connected, Hutzel says that's just not true. The Defense Department continues to stress the safety of the anthrax vaccine, and all troops headed for the Persian Gulf receive the inoculation series.
We had all the problems from immunizations. Our team was tasked with to put together the anthrax vaccine program in theater. But we were also ordered, do not record lots, batches, doses, who got them, what their reactions were, when they got them, or how many they got. Direct orders.
There's enough paperwork right now to prove there is a Gulf War illness, and there's certain medicines that control it, and that's all they're doing right now is controlling it for a few.
Staff Sergeant Mark Zeller was a member of Special Operations in the 18th Airborne Corps. He served in the Iraq-Iran War, Desert Shield, and Desert Storm campaigns.
And we're all forced to roll up our sleeves and pull down our pants and get shots in the gluteus and in the tricep muscles of our arms. We all started getting sick, but we didn't think nothing of it because our flight surgeon was telling us that it's hygiene that's getting us. We're all not taking baths every day. It's like maybe once a week or once every 3 days. And that hygiene was supposedly getting the best of us, so we didn't think anything of it after that.
They punched us with all these different vaccines, supposedly to protect us, and knowing that, you know, some of these had never been tested on humans.
My neck bones are degenerating. My lower back's degenerating. No one knows why. They want to go in there and scrape it and biopsy it. I'm like, I don't want to be in a wheelchair afterwards. It's pretty damaging to a guy that used to be in special operations and jumped out of airplanes for a living. So.
The use of vaccines in the military with recruits and servicemen and women is well documented. What is not well known is the relationship between the Department of Defense and pharmaceutical companies who have a vested interest in the widespread use of vaccines, what is contained in the vaccines, and just how many of those vaccines that were given that were in fact experimental. The experimentation of individual military members by the bureaucracy of the military medical establishment crosses all party lines. Military experimental use of vaccines have been conducted during the past 50 years. The senior Bush administration ordered the use of experimental vaccines, anthrax and botulinum, during the buildup of the first Gulf War. The Clinton administration ordered the experimental use of the tick-borne encephalitis vaccine in Bosnia. Perhaps one of the most devastating executive orders regarding vaccines came under the Clinton administration. Executive Order 13139 essentially orders the use of experimental vaccines and/or drugs at any time without the service member's consent to be given to anyone in the military as long as the President or the Secretary of Defense approves. During the first Gulf War, it was not unusual for a service member ordered to Iraq in 1991 to receive 10 to 17 vaccines in one setting. Thousands of U.S. and coalition military personnel who served in the Persian Gulf War are now seriously incapacitated from unknown causes. One common thread for all military personnel were the vaccines. Many of those who did not deploy became ill also. Unfortunately, the U.S. military medical establishment has continued to conduct on an ongoing basis operations such as Project Badger and that has been referred to as a Manhattan-like project that involved the Tri-Service Vaccine Task Force. Credit for the best vaccine research should go to Gary Matsumoto in his acclaimed book entitled Vaccine A. Matsumoto concludes that the government covertly experimented on troops using squalene, which is an oil-based booster used to make vaccines stronger. Squalene has only been approved for use in experimental AIDS and experimental malaria vaccines. Since a large percentage of U.S. forces tested positive for squalene, it has led many individuals to believe that the anthrax vaccine could have been a primary clinical trial for an AIDS vaccine experiment. What the DoD should have disclosed to the troops is that squalene causes life-threatening diseases such as lupus, crippling arthritis, and multiple sclerosis. On May 11, 1999, at an Air Force briefing held at Dover Air Force Base, Air Force Surgeon General Charles H. Rodman II denied the use of squalene in the anthrax vaccine. He was backed up by Army Colonel Arthur Friedlander. However, 6 weeks later, the FDA identified the presence of squalene in two separate vaccine lots. With the reintroduction of the anthrax vaccine prior to the Second Gulf War, up to 50% of Air National Guard pilots resigned rather than take the deadly vaccine. To this date, the Department of Defense continues to give the anthrax vaccine to U.S. military.
The minute you walk into a recruiter's office, the first thing they say is, "Young man, if you do this, you'll be taken care of forever." And in modern day, the 21st century soldier, it includes women. So men and women are promised health care should they become sick from the battlefield. And the fact of the matter is that since Operation Desert Storm concluded, 10 to 11,000 soldiers are dead. 250,000 of us get a check from the Veterans Administration for undiagnosed illnesses, and double that amount have actually gone to the Veterans Administration and entered into study groups known as ionizing radiation study groups and Gulf War depleted uranium study groups, and that's just being used as a guinea pig. So we were abused by the Department of Defense. We got sent to a contaminated battlefield. We came home, we were being studied by the Veterans Administration, and every time we turn around and look for some help, somebody calls us a post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's not appropriate. We're not stressed out, we're sick. We've been contaminated. I do what I do every day because the system hurt me.
Tell us you're on the air with Dennis Kine. Go ahead, please.
I just want to take time, Dennis, to thank you so much and be able to say this personally to you. And I want to urge the folks to order your book. And I can't go at the pace that I used to. And I'm so thankful for someone like you to help some of us old timers.
It hurt me as a soldier and it hurt me as a veteran. And I don't want to see anybody else get hurt. I don't do this because I need to inflict any pain on anybody. I do this because young men and women enter voluntarily into a system to go serve their country, serve their friends, serve their family, and serve their fellow Americans, and they get duped by the recruiter from the very beginning when they're told, if you get injured or become sick, we will take care of you. And for 14 years, I've been a prime example. My family members, my brothers, are prime examples of people who never got cared for.
There's legislation in Congress right now to implement another draft. Every parent needs to decide if they're willing to send their child to be part of a military medical establishment experimentation process, because that's exactly what is going to take place. For the past 50 years, we've been experimenting upon hundreds of thousands of our military. It's incomprehensible the damage that has taken place in the lives of these servicemen and women. And it's not just the servicemen and women, it's their families, their spouses, their children that have been severely affected. It must stop. How will we ever get anyone to join the military knowing that they're going to be exposed to whatever the Department of Defense desires to do with them? Once people are aware of the massive amount of experimentation that takes place in our military, we won't have one. We won't have a group of people that will serve. And for obvious reasons. Because of the Ferris Doctrine, which has blocked any kind of compensation, assistance, or really any accountability from the Department of Defense or the military, Our troops are living in some kind of slippery slope. They have no rights. With Executive Order 13139, they can be experimented upon without their consent, anytime, any place. When will it stop? How will it stop? And what must we do?
One of the, I think, problems with American law is that there is a number of ways that municipalities, states, and the federal government will often immunize themselves from what would normally be seen as tort actions. In the United States, we have something called the Ferris Doctrine, which essentially articulates a rule of sovereign immunity that says the federal government is not liable for anything that happens to you while you are in military service. The doctrine originates from the year 1950, and the court at that time heard the case of a military serviceman who was killed in a barracks fire, and ultimately decided that it was good public policy not to allow these lawsuits.
This really is the ultimate in hypocrisy. You see the heroic search and rescue missions where the government is very publicly going in and rescuing prisoners of war in combat. And the message there, or the propaganda, if you will, is that we care about you, the soldier. The reality is very different. The reality is that they are shielding themselves behind an outdated legislation and using the soldiers essentially as pawns in a chess game.
The Ferris case was literally about a serviceman who was injured in a barracks fire in New York State. That's a very different kind of case than the subsequent cases that have been brought to the Supreme Court. A case like depleted uranium or Agent Orange or something like the Tuskegee experiment, this is about the government knowingly allowing you to be injured. Some would argue intentionally allowing it to happen, certainly behaving through gross negligence to allow you to suffer injury to yourself. And the courts have consistently, for the last five decades, upheld this as a legal doctrine that is alive and well in this country. Now, recently, in the late 1980s, ironically, one of the most conservative justices, Justice Scalia, has indicated in a decision where he was joined by three other justices that the Ferris Doctrine was wrongly decided. And so there's some hope that the court is starting to see that a doctrine that began over the principle of negligence ought not be applied when you get into really criminal knowledge.
BeyondTreason.com will be a focal point, an area where people can go to find out what can be done, what needs to be done, and how to help. We must all join together to say, enough is enough. You see, if they experiment upon the military, the citizens are next. We can no longer play the role of esprit de corps in the military, of patriotism, of blind patriotism. We must accept the fact that it is our fault that we have allowed this to take place in this country. We call ourselves Americans, and this is freedom, and yet our sons and daughters are dying. Those that are responsible for these acts should spend the rest of their natural lives in prison for what they have done. There is no question, from the presidents on down for the past 50 years, those that have been in charge of these experiments, there's no question that this is truly beyond treason.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways. As you can see in these home movies taken by a friend, Judy Roberts' paralysis confined her mostly to a wheelchair for over a year. But this disease can even kill. Indeed, there are 300 claims now pending from the families of GBS victims who died, allegedly as a result of the swine flu shot. In other GBS victims, the crippling effects diminish and all but disappear. But for Judy Roberts, progress back to good health has been painful and partial.
Now, I notice that your smile, Judy, is a little bit constricted.
Yes, it is.
Is it different from what it used to be?
Very different. I have a greatly decreased mobility in my lips. And I can't drink through a straw on the right-hand side. I can't blow out birthday candles. I don't whistle anymore, for which my husband is grateful.
It may be a little difficult for you to answer this question, but have you recovered as much as you are going to recover?
Yes, this is it.
So you will now have a legacy of braces on your legs for the rest of your life?
Yes, the weakness in my hands will stay and the leg braces will stay.
So Judy Roberts and her husband have filed a claim against the U.S. government. They're asking $12 million, though they don't expect to get nearly that much.
Judy, why did you take the flu shot?
I'd never taken any other flu shots, but I felt like this was going to be a major epidemic, and the only way to prevent a major epidemic of a really deadly variety of flu was for everybody to be immunized.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold. An Army doctor here sent samples of their throat cultures to the New Jersey Public Health Lab to find out just what kind of bug was going around here. One of those samples was from a Private David Lewis who had left his sickbed to go on a forced march. Private Lewis had collapsed on that march, and his sergeant had revived him by mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But the sergeant showed no signs of illness. A few days later, Private Lewis died.
If this disease is so potentially fatal that it's going to kill a young, healthy man, a middle-aged school teacher doesn't have a prayer.
The New Jersey lab identified most of those soldiers' throat cultures as the normal kind of flu virus going around that year, but they could not make out what kind of virus was in the culture from the dead soldier and from four others who were sick. So they sent those cultures to the Federal Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, for further study. A few days later, they got the verdict, swine flu.
But that much publicized outbreak of swine flu at Fort Dix involved only Private Lewis, who died, and those four other soldiers who recovered completely without the swine flu shot.
If I had known at that time that the boy had been in a sickbed got up, went out on a forced march, and then collapsed and died. I would never have taken the shot.
The rationale for our recommendation was not on the basis of the death of a single individual, but it was on the basis that when we do see a change in the characteristics of the influenza virus, it is a massive public health problem in this country.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Now, nearly everyone was to receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form, giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated that the swine flu vaccine had been tested. What it didn't say was that after those tests were completed, the scientists developed another vaccine. And that was the one given to most of the 46 million who took the shot. That vaccine was called X-53A.
Was X-53A ever field tested?
I can't say. I would have to...
It wasn't.
I don't know.
Well, I would think that you're in charge of the program.
I would have to check the records. I haven't looked at this in some time.
The information form, the consent form, was also supposed to warn people about any risks of serious complications following the shot. But did it?
No, I had never heard of any reactions other than a sore arm, fever, this sort of thing.
Judy Roberts' husband, Gene, also took the shot.
Yes, I looked at that document. I signed it. Nothing on there said I was going to have a heart attack or I'd get Guillain-Barré, which I never heard of.
What if people from the government, from the Center for Disease Control, what if they had indeed known about it? What would be your feeling?
They should have told us.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hatwick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hatwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hatwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the men in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
I've said that Dr. Hatwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
And he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the people that information?
I think that over the years we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.
As part of informing Americans about the swine flu threat, Dr. Sensor's CDC also helped create the advertising to get the public to take the shot.
Let me read to you from one of your own agency's memos planning the campaign to urge Americans to take the shot. The swine flu vaccine has been taken by many important persons, he wrote. Example, President Ford, Henry Kissinger, Elton John, Muhammad Ali, Mary Tyler Moore, Rudolf Nureyev, Walter Cronkite, Ralph Nader, Edward Kennedy, etc., etc. True?
I'm not familiar with that particular piece of paper, but I do know that at least of that group, President Ford did take the vaccination.
Did you talk to these people beforehand to find out if they planned to take the shot?
I did not know.
Did anybody?
I do not know.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.
You're in charge. Somebody's in charge.
There are...
This is your advertising strategy that I have a copy of here.
Who's it signed by?
This one is unsigned. But you'll acknowledge that it was your baby, so to speak.
It could have been from the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. It could be from CDC. I don't know. I'll be happy to take responsibility for it.
It's been 3 years now since you fell ill with GVS, right?
Right.
Has the federal government, in your estimation, played fair with you about your claim?
No, I don't think so. It seems to be dragging on and on and on, and really no end in sight that I can see at this point.
With respect to the cases of Guillain-Barré, allegedly...
Former Secretary of HEW Joseph Califano, too, was disturbed that there was no end in sight. So a year and a half ago, he promised that Uncle Sam would cut the bureaucratic red tape for victims suffering from GVS and would pay up quickly.
We shouldn't hold them to an impossible or too difficult standard of proving that they were hurt. Even if we pay a few people a few thousand dollars that might not have deserved it, I think justice requires that we promptly pay those people who do deserve it.
Who's making the decision to be so hard-nosed about settling?
Well, I assume the Justice Department is.
Griffin Bell, before he left?
Well, the Justice Department agreed to the statement I made. It was cleared word for word with the lawyers in the Justice Department by my HEW lawyers.
And that statement said, in effect?
That statement said that we should pay Guillain-Barré claims without regard to whether the federal government was negligent if they resulted from the swine flu shot.
I think the government knows it's wrong.
If it drags out long enough, that people will just give up. Let it go.
I am a little more adamant in my thoughts than my wife is, because I told Judy to take the shot. She wasn't going to take it, and she never had shots. And I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken them. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies to me. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
Okay, that was a 60-minute broadcast from 1976. That is how long ago? 33 years ago, 1976. Now, understand this. Fear not. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of a sound mind. Pestilences are going to be a part of life from now until the Lord returns, because these Luciferian, Antichrist, global government control freaks have a commandment from Lucifer to kill 93% of the population. Yeah, that's you and me. Their god Lucifer comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is the father of lies. And all the governments of this world today are Antichrist.
If you haven't read the Lucifer's 10 article on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, just do it. And don't take the flu shot. No matter what they try and tell you, we're going to put you in jail, we're going to kill you, we're going to fine you, no matter what, you just tell them, Nuremberg Code. You better read the Nuremberg Code. You can be tried as a war criminal because this is something I do not want. And if I don't want you injecting me, you are a war criminal according to the Nuremberg Code, which is higher than the law that says you need to vaccinate me. You vaccinate me against my will, and the Nuremberg Code can try you as a war criminal, and I can sue you for everything you got. So you better let me take a pass on this one. It's up to you. You do it the way you want to do it. But find out about the Nuremberg Code. Find out about the vaccine. And just give your body's normal immune system. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. If your immune system is functioning well, take proper care of your body. Eat good things, which is hard to do now with all the genetically modified food and the pesticides and everything else. But take good vitamin supplements if you can afford them, if you can still get them, if they haven't been outlawed by these governments that are out to kill 93% of the population. They want to reduce the population of this planet to 500 million. Do the math. There's about 6,600,000. That means 93-95% of us have got to go for their god, Lucifer. And that's what's going on here, folks. It is the Antichrist war on the saints. But though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come nigh thee. God said so. Take vitamin C. That's the main vitamin you need to have. Vitamin C, ascorbic acid. And find out about colloidal silver. The doctors would have to go out and get a real job if people knew about colloidal silver. The drug companies would be out of business if people knew about colloidal silver. You can make it yourself. Very easy to make. Known cure, known treatment for over 670 diseases, many of which there is no other known treatment. And it's uniquely different than drugs. Any drug has a negative side effect. A drug has a positive effect, and it has a negative side effect. There is no negative side effects with colloidal silver. It can only help you. It can't hurt you. Now they're going to say, well, you're going to turn blue and you'll get... Well, you'd have to drink gallons of it to turn blue. Sure, they can sue me for giving medical advice. I'm not giving you medical advice. They can sue me if they want to. I say, go ahead. I'll let everybody in the world over that lawsuit know about the beneficial effects of colloidal silver. And in the meantime, you, whoever you are that wants to sue me, better figure out you can't get blood out of a turnip. No, the doctors and the drug companies in particular just publish that kind of scare tactics and false data so that people won't find out about colloidal silver and use it. It's the reason Alexander the Great was able to conquer the world so quickly, because his captains all had silver canteens and had enough colloidal silver that they didn't get dysentery, which was unique on the battlefields of the world at that time. Dysentery was the greatest problem any army at that time had. Make sure that you go to the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. Let me give you that website. It's all small letters. www.moreshoreword. That's all one word, all small letters. www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. There are two sites you need to take a look at. The one on pestilence, www.moreshoreword.com/pestilence with a capital P, .htm. There's another link you should surely take a look at, because it's probably hard to believe that your government wants to kill 95% of the people on this earth. You can see it chiseled in stone, Lucifer's Ten Commandments, and your eyes will be opened up to things that are absolutely astonishing. And yet, the scriptures, the more sure word of the KJV Holy Bible,
says these things are to happen in this time. So take a look at this link, this site, www.moresureword.com/Lucifer10, LUCIFERTEN .htm. One more time, www.moresureword.com/Lucifer10.htm. And Lucifer 10 is all small letters, LUCIFERTEN, no spaces. I hope you'll check these things out. It's important to you. Only be very strong and of good courage. Fear not. Fear not. It's the command of the Lord. Choose faith, not fear. If you don't choose faith, all you will be left is fear. No, fear not. That's the command of the Lord. You can choose faith or fear. For me and my house, we'll choose faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.